जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशताधिसेवाइन ग्रेसेसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमाधिसेवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की। ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की ताई गौर प्रेमनंदी। ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरीज टू शिशि गुरु एंड शिगुरंगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, the Summum Bonum, Chapter 22. Krishna steal the garments of the unmarried gopis, text number 18. Bhagavan ahata bhiksha sudha bhava prasaditaha कंदे निधाय वंसंसि प्रोभाच सास्मितम्। भगवान् आहता भिक्षा सुधा भावा प्रसादितः कंदे निधाय वंसंसि प्रीत प्रोवाचस्मि सास्मितम्। भगवान् आहता वीक्षा सुधा भावा प्रसादितः कंदे निधाय वंसंसि प्रीता प्रोवाच सास्मितम्। Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Ahata, struck, Diksha, seen, Sutta, pure, Bhava, by their loving affection, Prasadita, satisfied, Kandhe, upon his shoulder, Nidhaya placing Vasamsi their garments, Pritaha lovingly, Provacha spoke, Sasmitam while smiling. Translation and purport by the disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When the Supreme Lord saw how the gopis were struck with embarrassment, He was satisfied by their pure loving affection. Putting their clothes on His shoulder, the Lord smiled and spoke to them with affection. Srila Prabhupada comments, quote, "The gopis' simple presentation was so pure that Lord Krishna immediately became pleased with them. All the unmarried gopis who prayed to Katayani to have Krishna as their husband were thus satisfied. A woman cannot be naked before any other male except her husband. The unmarried gopis desire Krishna as their husband, and he fulfilled the desires in this way." End of quote. For aristocratic girls like the gopis, standing naked before a young boy was worse than death. And yet, they decided to give up everything for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. He wanted to see the power of their love for him, and he was completely satisfied by their unalloyed devotion. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvesesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Bancha Kalpataruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanevio Vaishnavevio Namo Namaha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse. Seeing the devastated state of the gopis, a completely hata, killed, understanding that they have followed His request, giving up all shyness, which was worse than death for those respectable girls, understanding that this arose from the pure unmotivated prema, Sudha Bhava, He became pleased, prasidataha. He put all their clothing on His shoulder out of greed to smell the fragrance of their limbs. By doing this also, He showed His love for them. With great boldness, He then gave them advice, Prabhacha. He thought, they have done something which is difficult for any woman out of love for me. But there is something even more difficult to do. Will they do that or not? I want to see the amount of love they have for me. Therefore, He spoke with a smile, Sasmitan, quote, "O gopis, you have accepted with your mouth that you are my servants and that you will follow my words. Now I'm going to test your words. If you come out, I will give you your clothing along with my soul, mind, life air, and body." End of quote. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He was pleased with the pure prema, Sudha Bhava, on seeing that they have come, ahata. Gathering all the clothes on the trunk of the tree, he then spoke, particularly showing what was proper in order to teach them, Prabhacha. He smiled since he remained there for a long time. Quote, "It is not proper to say that ahata means they came, Since that meaning is like persons restricted to a well, whereas those dwelling in an ocean of the Vedas speak of a different meaning. The Mahavasya says, Saptadvipa Bhushamati Trayo Lokas Chataro Chatuaro Trayo Lokas Chatuaro Veda Sangan Sarahasya Ane Keda Vina Eka Shatan Adwarjur Saka Sahasra Barma Sama Veda Ekaban Ekabin Shati Bahrichyam Navadartarvano Veda Bako Vakyam Iti Tasha Puranani Vaidyakyam Iti Etavatam Saddha Projagam Anisamya Prayukta Shabdha. That translates as the earth made of seven islands, the three planetary systems, the four Vedas and their Angas are of many varieties with secrets. There are 100 branches of Yajurveda, 1,000 branches of the Sama Veda, 21 branches of the Rig Veda, and 9 branches of the Atharva Veda. There are the Upanishads, histories, and Puranas. Words are used in all these works with Vedic meaning. Words cannot be restricted to certain usages. That meaning is your own bold assertion. Ahata has another meaning according to the lexicographers. Vishwa Prakasha says Ahata means multiply, beaten, or a drum. Thus the gopis became 2, 3, and more in number. He saw them gather together. Out of shyness, they could not go by themselves. According to Siraswami, the word means proclaim or famous. Thus they saw the famous gopis. This indicates astonishment at the gopis' action. However, imaginary meanings. By philosophical Siddhartha Goswami. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. He was pleased with the pure prema, Sudabhava, on seeing that they have come, Ahata. Gathering all the clothes on the trunk of the tree, he then spoke, particularly showing what was proper in order to teach them, Prabhacha. He smiled since he remained there for a long time. His speaking would be colored with joking. Out of the reason he placed the clothing on his shoulder is given, they had pure bhava. He spoke with a smile because he was pleased with or affectionate to them, Prita. Being pleased, he spoke joking words. Since that is the necessary result of being pleased, he placed a multiple clothes on only one shoulder, showing his powers as previously during his human pastimes. It was previously said that he was Yogeshwara, master of the masters of yoga. I was just appreciating the position of the gopis, or we can appreciate the position of the gopis, because there is something that we see, and it's almost is a very recurring theme in the loving relationship Krishna and his devotees, that there's sometimes all these varieties of circumstances, and in many situations some of those circumstances appear to be sort of a little bit stressful, and sometimes very stressful, and they consider and describe as Krishna is testing the devotees. So in this case, the gopis have to go to some, they were in quite a conflicting test, you know, they were a bit stressed out and pushed by these two forces, as explained yesterday, was in the purport, the acharyas were explaining. Then they were split between the forces of shyness and, you know, proper behavior for acharyas here, they explain about the word that is used, aristocratic girls like the gopis standing naked before a young boy was worse than death. So the force of this proper conduct and then the force of the love that they have for Krishna were creating this big conflict, and naturally the love for Krishna won and they give up all shyness and all considerations of propriety or anything. They give up everything and simply acted out of the simple, it is explained here that the simple presentation of their love for Krishna. Nothing but that. And that position is praised, you know, and worshipped by all devotees. Yesterday we mentioned about Lord Chaitanya giving us the instructions that there is no worship greater than the gopis. So this situation of Krishna testing the devotees, and why sometimes, you know, we may question, why testing the devotees? What is the purpose of testing the devotees? Why Krishna have to put the devotees into some situation or some circumstance that appears to be stressful? Especially to this type of devotees that are fully given and surrendered to Krishna and they're absorbed in pure love towards Krishna. What is the need of that sort of form of reciprocation? Those have reciprocated in so many ways on fulfilling the desires of the gopis. Krishna being their husband. So one thing that I was thinking on reading a little bit about it, about thing of Krishna testing the devotees. In the case of the gopis, is in a different complete space itself. Because with the gopis, this so-called stress is nothing but another form of ecstasy. So, say for example, Shrimati Radharani has these pastimes of anger towards Krishna, this man. Yes. So she becomes angry. You know, and she becomes angry, and her anger actually gives Krishna great pleasure. And then Krishna makes her angry, acts in such a way that makes Shrimati Radharani angry, because Shrimati Radharani in that mood also is in a different thing. It's completely impossible for us to understand conditioned souls, to understand this reciprocation of love, or this emotion, or this experience that is in the spiritual world, which these emotions that are negative, or that are, that have this sort of a stressful implications, they're simply manifestation of ecstatic love. And in the case of and is in that space is simply a reciprocation both ways of love. So the gopis, they're in the whole displays of conflict, shyness, you know, that sort of exchange that they have with Krishna, that gives Krishna great pleasure. And when they see Krishna being having pleasure, they also experience that type of pleasure. And Krishna sort of enhances that, and they enhance that. So it's in a complete different space. So in reality, it's not a test. It's simply pastime in that level. It's just glorify presents the super excellent position of those devotees, that Krishna becomes fully controlled by the love of these devotees, as well as these devotees are fully controlled by Krishna. Like when Srimati Radharani becomes angry, then Krishna becomes completely dependent. He just, you know, bathes Srimati Radharani's lotus feet with tears, begging for forgiveness. So Krishna, the supreme controller, begs Srimati Radharani to forgive him. So he's fully controlled. So he's in a complete different space. There's no test in there. And then we have devotees who, you know, pure devotees in this material world, that comes into this material world and become tested with Krishna, from Krishna. And we see that it's a recurring thing, that great personalities constantly being put in all kinds of tribulations, from the Pandavas to Queen Kunti, Bhishma Dev, Parikshit Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, all throughout the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam is example of great, great personalities being put into great types of tribulations and tests, which is puzzling for just conditioned souls to understand. In fact, it's impossible to understand without transcendental knowledge. That type of exchange, or that type of examples, or that type of connection that the devotees have with Krishna, in which, you know, they're being constantly put into tests, into very difficult tribulations. And Bhishma Dev himself expressed that in the prayers, in his instruction to discussion with Yudhisthira Maharaj, he said, no one can understand the plans of Krishna, or the Lord. No one can understand his plans. Even great, great philosophers and yogis and jnanis, they cannot understand Krishna's ways or plans. So Krishna has these ways of acting towards devotees that constantly appears to be, you know, sort of putting the devotees into difficulties. And when we read the Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna said, well, you surrender to me and I will take care of you. You don't have to worry. Masuchaha, do not worry. So one feels assured, oh, I surrender to Krishna, so then the reactions of sinful actions, I don't have to worry, it won't touch, you know, I will be protected for those reactions. Sarva dharman paritiyaman ekam saranam vaya. Aham tuan sarva papevyo. All these sinful reactions, I will protect you. But then we see that, well, you know, sometimes we see devotees have to go through all kinds of difficulties that appear to be like, what's the difference of a sinful reaction? Devotees may have accidents. Devotees may become, you know, very poor, or devotees may be very sick and suffer all kinds of things, of, you know, or being attacked, things like that. All kinds of situations in which, you know, the devotee have to be through these tribulations. And that's what, you know, common devotees like many of us. But what to speak of great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Queen Kunti, say Queen Kunti, who makes the famous prayers that, you know, Bipada Shantuta Saswat, let those calamities happen over and over. Praise for that. But then we see on her life that these are great personalities, the eternal associate of the Lord, they're pure devotees, but they are they go through similar type of stress and circumstances, difficult circumstances like common people we go through. They have to suffer through all these different things. So Queen Kunti have one tragedy after another tragedy. First she have to, out of proper social conventions, she have to separate herself from her first son, Karna. And that was a very heartbroken thing, but she was an unmarried princess. So it was going to be a disaster for both of them. So she had to let him go. And then she had to go through her husband died. She was still, you know, young. And so the husband died. Then She have to live, you know, with her children being constantly trying to be killed by the princes, by the sons of Dhritarashtra, and persecuted, and then, you know, the insult of Draupadi and the cheating of Duryodhana and Shakuni, and then they're also constantly being hunted, you know, and trying and persecuted during the years of exile, and then so many things, so many calamities, one after another. And so she had to go through all that suffering. So why like that? And for these great personalities, Prahlad Maharaj, these great personalities, well, Krishna simply puts them on these circumstances for the purpose of giving us the example of how to deal with with suffering and with difficult things. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with calamities? So these great personalities deal with calamities just like with Queen Kunti prayers, that during those calamities you have no choice but to take full shelter of Krishna. Greatest example of that person of dealing with a calamity and having no shelter but just Krishna was the disrobing of Draupadi. How fully surrender to Krishna and seek for Krishna's protection alone. So she could understand that all the personalities that were present there that she trusted before that will protect them, all the five powerful Pandavas, husbands, and her elders like Bhishma Dev and Vidura and King Dhritarashtra, all the elders that were there to protect her, that she saw as the protector, then they fail her. She have no other protector than Krishna, and she took full shelter of Krishna, and Krishna protecting her. But she have to go through that tribulation. So the example of these great personalities, they call Mahajans. So we ought to follow their example of how to deal with calamities, how to deal with these tribulations, that we simply absorb ourselves in the shelter of Krishna. And by absorbing ourselves in the shelter of Krishna, then we experience Krishna's reciprocation. And so that is the example, and for the devotees, then there is a famous prayer of Lord Brahma that established very clear that mood that we have to follow. When Krishna, when we go into tribulations, that is Krishna testing us, or testing. More than saying a test, because this is how the devotee understands it, it's not that Krishna is just doing, you know, like, okay, you have to pass the test, if you fail, you know, like that. No. It's actually his reciprocation, and that's how the devotee understands. His reciprocation is that he's doing this because it's something that is required for me to come closer to him. And Lord Brahma, he explains that in his famous verse. He established that example and that guidance that fully meditate through going to all the tribulations of being in this material world. Being in this material world means we have to experience suffering. It's how it's designed. This material world is Ashashvatan. It's a place of suffering. So deal with suffering. Suffering is a necessary thing to be able to come to understand that the reason we're suffering is because we are not in our situated in our in our actual identity. So how do we deal with suffering while we're conditioned, while we're not in fully spiritually realized? So Lord Brahma says, tate nukampan susamikshama no bunjanjana evatma kritam vipakam. So he says, my dear Lord, one who earnestly wait for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reaction of his past misdeeds and offering your respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. And the Prabhupada actually are disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They quote from Srila Sridhara Swami that explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulated principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. So, the mood of accepting that taking shelter on Krishna and the process that Krishna has given us, and very patiently going through the process, just awaiting from that time that Krishna will free us from this conditioned life. And remaining just like this, you know, simply remain alive in Krishna consciousness. We simply have to just go through our life, trying our best, practicing the regulated principles of Bhakti Yoga. And we go our life through that, patiently waiting. Meaning, patiently waiting, it means that we're not fully purified as we practice. We're waiting for that moment that we become completely free by the mercy of Krishna. And just go on, alive in Krishna consciousness, simply remain just like the son of a wealthy person. Doesn't have to do anything, he just have to remain alive, and then when the father dies, he gets an inheritance. Nothing, you know, he's not working for it. You just have to remain alive. So similarly, to remain alive in Krishna consciousness, following the instructions Guru and Krishna, then we will be promoted to the kingdom of God. So the idea that Krishna is that we still have to deal with the reactions, the suffering reactions of our past misdeeds. That means, you know, we're getting touched by our sinful reactions. But that is not the case. The Acharyas explains that once we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna takes charge. So for the devotee, it's just Krishna is using a particular circumstance to purify whatever is there that is remain in the consciousness of the devotee who sincerely approached for his shelter. So, although we come to Krishna, we're still conditioned by this body. So we're still afflicted by the conditions of the body. We still, all that thing is there. So Krishna uses, you know, circumstances, tribulations, some sufferings to help us move past the condition itself. And that is Krishna's loving reciprocation. So going through those tribulations, meditating and following the footsteps of great devotees like Queen Kunti and the Pandavas and Prahlad Maharaj, the example, Lord Brahma, the example that they give of how they dealt with those circumstances and how they fully took shelter of Krishna. And in that full shelter of Krishna, they fell the greatest security. Then we can go through our lives like that and patiently wait, because the Krishna's mercy is assured. It becomes a rightful claim. That's what Lord Brahma says. So that's something that came to mind where reading about Krishna testing the love of the gopis, but that's in a complete different ballpark. That test, you know, is how relate to us. But in one sense, Krishna is also reciprocating with us. The fact is that when we come to the levels of those great devotees, examples, associates of the Lord that shows the path, when we come to that position of full surrender to Krishna, then there's always this very beautiful passage that is very touching. In the passage of Ambarish Maharaj, in which Krishna says to Durvasa Muni that Durvasa Muni approached Lord Vishnu and say, please, you know, have a heart, you know, help me. I'm approaching you, you know, and surrendering and searching for your protection. So have a heart and protect me. And then Lord Vishnu responds, that he's very sorry, but he doesn't have his heart. His heart is in the possession of Ambarish Maharaj. So he gave his heart to Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj is the possessor of his heart. So if he wants, you know, to receive his mercy, he has to come to Ambarish Maharaj, because he is dependent on that. So Krishna becomes dependent on the devotion and the love of the devotee. The dependence of love like that is something it can be reached. That's the eternal an essential condition of all loving relationship with it. up here. Any comments?
You join a contrast in some sense between embarrassing situation that the gopis were put into by Krishna, that was on, you know, a plane of pure love for him, and persons that may be in a conditioned state that certainly aren't on that plane of existence or on that level of devotional love for Krishna. And you were highlighting that the various uncomfortable situations that a conditioned person may be put into by Krishna. So can one infer that the purpose of being put into those situations is in order to heighten or develop further that love for Krishna?
It's nicely expressed here in this purport. Famous. The word Shushamikshamana indicates that the devotee earnestly waits for the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reaction of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord, and therefore the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is especially designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although the devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he maintains a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing the devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead.
So actually, it's killing an enjoying spirit, the difficulty that one is put into as a conditioned person. So it's not automatically taken that one's increasing one's love for Krishna, but by virtue of the process of surrender, having made that arrangement, that the enjoying is killed or death blows struck to it, then it would indicate that some Krishna increases.
They have to. It's the only way. I mean, that's the whole process of devotional service is a process of gradual surrender to Krishna. It's a saranagati process. So to seek for Krishna's protection when you are in tribulation, seek for Krishna's maintenance as your maintainer. You know, it's a whole thing to surrender fully to Krishna, to approach Krishna in humility, to do the things that are beneficial for advancing consciousness. You know, you become with difficulties becomes an impetus take full shelter. That's how, you know, naturally it's designed. So Krishna goes right at that weak area of the devotee, and you go to, so at one point it becomes, you know, like your only shelter is Krishna, because it's impossible to get rid of that condition otherwise. And in that mood, then that's why the patiently waiting of suffering, that patiently indicates also that one is doing the process or applying the process of Krishna consciousness, the process of surrendering to Krishna. Quite wonderful. All right. Thank you. Antarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.